Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of The Language Lounge. My name is Michelle Ola, and today I'm here with Noemi Rodriguez. Hi, Noemi. How are you?
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
I'm so excited about this. I always geek out whenever I have anybody that wants to talk technology or AI and all of this kind of fun stuff. I just think it's energizing, very interesting, something new, something I'm learning, because sometimes I feel like I get stuck and I stop learning new things. And so I'm really excited that you reached out and that we're going to talk about not just ChatGPT, because that's one AI assistant right. That we can have, but other ones as world language teachers. So before we hop in, why don't you just tell our audience a little bit about you and your context and why this is so interesting and engaging for you?
Sure. Thank you. Thank you so much, Michelle, for having me too. I really appreciate your time and being able to be here to have a wider audience to share with about these really neat tools. My name is Noemi Rodriguez. I'm located in New Jersey. I have been in education now for over 20 years. I've been in the Spanish teacher role, and more recently, I'm in a supervisor role in a high school district in northern New Jersey. And in February, as I was sharing with you before, I had a baby girl, and having stepped away from the school environment, I was very much interested in learning what everybody was talking about. So I dove back in a few months ago, and because technology to me is just an amazing way to make hopefully everyone's lives a little bit easier. And when I saw what some of these AI tools was doing, I thought, yeah, people need to know about this. People need to hopefully embrace some of these tools and how they can be super useful for them, especially going into a new school year and knowing how daunting some of these tasks can be. I thought, what a nice lifesaver some of these are. Just, hey, let me pop this information in, and then boom, I have like a really beautiful first draft of something that maybe I want to use and tweak. So thank you again for having me. I'm really excited to share.
Absolutely. And I'm really excited because I've had a couple of guests on. Lisa McCarr came on, and her podcast was kind of about minimalism and organizing yourself and paring things down in order to make our lives a little bit easier as teachers and educators, right? And then I had Bethany Drew, and she came in and talked about like high impact templates that, again, there's a theme here, as I think is what I'm trying to say, is that, you know, as a profession, we work hard, teachers work hard, right? And so when there's some tools that can help assist us in some of the things that we do, I think it's amazing that we can kind of take advantage of those and explore those. But I think it can be overwhelming, right? Again, it's fun to learn something new, but it's also time consuming to learn something new and to look at all other so many every day. And when it was only ChatGPT, I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. I can dig into that. Yeah. But there's so many maybe better things out there now. And so I really appreciate that you've kind of curated, practiced, tried out some of these, and all from that world language educator perspective.
Exactly.
Because there's a lot of stuff out there about other generic teaching or general teaching or business or whatever. But I'm really excited to hear what you've found that is going to be particularly helpful, specifically helpful for, you know, world language teachers. So
absolutely.
Awesome. Well, let's hop right in. So, I mean, we talk about ChatGPT, and you know, a lot of people are familiar with that,
right?
So, why don't we just start there and talk a little bit what it is or what it isn't, a little bit of the pros and cons, or what ways it can be used in world language classrooms.
Yeah,
And then we'll kind of go from there.
Absolutely. So, ChatGPT, quite honestly, will do anything. That's really what it boils down to. And it doesn't matter what career you're in, it can help you. Even if you're doing something as simple as, I'm throwing a barbecue this weekend and I'd like to plan a menu, you can provide it with that context and it'll generate a menu for you. And you're like, great, let me have those recipes. So even in your personal life, it might be a helpful kind of personal assistant to you, because it can really do anything. It can create lesson plans, curriculum, rubrics, you name it, ChatGPT can do it. But it doesn't know that you're a teacher. So you have to tell it you're a teacher and you have to give it very specific parameters. So you have to explain to ChatGPT, I'm a high school teacher. teacher, I'm a middle school teacher, I'm an elementary school teacher, I'm teaching this subject area, I have, you know, I'm in this particular unit of study, I want you to only use these unique words. So you have to be very specific with ChatGPT. And then you can also go back and forth and essentially communicate with this artificial intelligence and tell it, make this passage shorter, make it more creative, provide, 14 new multiple choice questions, whatever it is that you want to do. But the possibilities are really endless. And as of now, ChatGPT isn't connected to the internet, the unpaid version. but they're sharing that in the fall. So potentially very soon it will be. So then that way there's more relevant and current information regarding what's happening now in 2023 versus, you know, only being able to do a search up into so many years ago. So it's come along a really, in a few months, it's really evolved. And thanks to ChatGPT, all of these other neat tools have come up, knowing that there's folks like us that teach that would like to use this technology, but we might not have time to be very specific in ChatGPT, and maybe we just need it to create a lesson plan, or we just need it to create a reading passage. So these are where all of these other neat tools have sprung up, and there's, in counting, over 500, so it's a little... Wow. Overwhelming. Yeah. But thankfully, there's only certain ones that I've encountered. And please, those that are listening today, I would love to continue the dialogue. And if they know of something amazing that helps world language teachers, please share. That way we all keep sharing and talking about this. So then that way we can all help each other out. But from what I can tell, there's like five or six that I really, really like. And right now they're free to use, which I also appreciate. So that way we can beta test and give the company some feedback as teachers as to what we really like about the platform, or maybe what we would really like to see in the future. So maybe it becomes a one-stop shop for us and we don't have to go to multiple sites to do all of these tasks.
Oh, I love that. I think that's great. Before I forget, though, I did want to mention, as far as ChatGPT, and then we'll kind of go on to some of these other ones as well. On your website, which we'll put in the show notes, I really liked, you have a little like infographic that kind of goes over some steps, you know, like provide context, define the task, you know, talk about the instruction, model, give an example, right? And then clarify and then refine. And I think just that and, you know, cutting that out and sitting it right by your desk, because it does take a while if you're just playing with ChatGPT. Right. It takes a while to figure out how to get the right response. You can get it. But when I first started, it took me a long time for the output of ChatGPT to be what I wanted it to be. Right. And then you get a little bit better as you figure out like the nuances of it. Yeah, it does. It's fascinating. I use it for planning my vacations, you know, my own vacations, you know, and there's, it gives you some great places to start. And so I just wanted to point that out because I found that to be very simple and very helpful.
Yeah, I can absolutely share that graphic. I created that too, just from seeing conversations and understanding a little bit better about how ChatGPT is working for me. So I thought this is a really just helpful, like one page printout that I can post and use and reference when I'm trying to create essentially the perfect prompt for ChatGPT. Yeah,
exactly. No, so I just wanted to make sure we'll provide that link to the website so people can see that, because I think it's very helpful. There's a lot of those ChatGPT cheat sheets and prompt guides, but not all of them are, you know, geared to what we're looking at or what we're trying to do. So, well, I'm excited to hear about some of these beyond ChatGPT sort of tools. So what is the first one that you want to talk to us about, and what are some things it does?
So as someone who, when you work with a variety of students, whether it's they're in their first year, third year, fifth year of learning another language, I always find that reading is so, so important, and making sure that the content that they're reading is about 90% comprehensible to them. And there's a few new words, and of course, pre-teaching some of that vocabulary, but really making sure that your students feel confident before they get into a particular text. So when I discovered one of the Facebook groups shared diffit.me, I thought, this is a really neat tool. Like, it can do so many things specific to reading. So with Diffit, what I really love about it is you can put in a search for any topic, you can ask it a question, and then you can choose the output. So if you want, let's say, content created at a first grade reading level versus a fifth grade reading level, you can go ahead and tell DFIT that that's the content that you're looking for, or the reading passage rather. You can also plug in a URL of an article. You can put in any text or excerpt that you have that's a PDF file, and it will generate resources for you. And when I say it, it'll generate the passage, and then right below, it'll give you multiple choice questions, open-ended questions, writing prompts, and then you can hit, there's like this little edit button, and you can hit edit, 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 and make little tweaks. And then what I absolutely love about it, because I feel like they were definitely listening to teachers, you can hit a button to export it to a Google Doc, and then it's a Google, which ChatGPT doesn't do yet, which is so, so nice. So then, oh, here, I have, you know, an article that I wanted to go ahead and push out to my Spanish 2 students. And then I have these colleagues that are also doing this unit of study that are also going to be studying this content. Here, we can all share this resource. And then it becomes, you know, part of a collegial effort, so to speak. And then you can take it and make changes as well in a Google Doc and then share it with your students. So it just, when I saw what it could do, and it does it in any language, which I love. So whether you, because I feel like my friends who are Chinese teachers or even Italian teachers, sometimes the resources are scarce. So they're always looking for resources that they can use. And when I saw that it did that in those languages, I thought, voila, this is something that many teachers might gravitate towards just because of ease of use. It knows what you're looking for in terms of a reading passage or some sort of content, and it generates it for you instantly, which is amazing.
I love that. And again, like across prep areas, one of the things that Bethany had talked about is using a same resource along multiple levels, but appropriate proficiency level wise or performance wise, right? I also think within a classroom, we always know in a level two, oh man, those can be a hot mess, right? I love them, but they're hard to teach because you've got some that are novice mid maybe, and there's others that are, you know, again, touching on the intermediate sort of thing. And so even within a class period, you can tweak that easily. I mean, we can always do it, but it's not always been easy. It's always been very time consuming.
And so
to be able to differentiate.
The resources. Exactly. So we're like, okay, this would be good for this group. This would be good for this group. And then this would be great for maybe my intermediates. Well, here's a tool that will do that for you. So then that way you can have a tiered text for each of, you know, with differentiation in mind, for sure.
Yeah.
If you're going to set that up in your classroom, which is great.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I know we were talking about this before. Sometimes teachers feel like, but that's cheating. Like I should create all of this myself, right? But when you free yourself up of some of these tasks, I mean, you're a teacher. You should be teaching and facilitating learning, right? And so if you can clear up some of these tasks that would take a lot of time, maybe you can focus more on feedback or focus more on, you know, doing your engaging, you know, planning your engaging lessons or doing something else. It's not like we're not working hard, right?
Exactly. And so, no, I totally agree. We teachers do so, so much in day in and day out. And there's just the time with the kids is usually the best time and the easiest time because you're rolling with your lesson. And then it's all the stuff that happens after school, before school, weekends that you're just, it's so time consuming. So
and you're only getting paid for during the day with the kids. Let's be honest here.
You can really work many, many hours over that school day, which is just, it's not fair because as a teacher, you deserve to take care of yourself. You deserve time with your family, your friends, your life. And if you can have something that can at least give you a rough draft, at least like a starting point, and then you can take it and make changes. And then here's a helpful tool, and this is how you can use it. I don't look at it as cheating because like any technology tool right now, like we're using Google Maps. Is that cheating to get from place to place?
Not have to figure out a map?
No, exactly. Like nobody's breaking out an old school map in their car. Right. We use Google Maps to get from point A to point B. And it's a helpful tool. And then you make it what it is. You make it your own because at the end of the day, nothing is going to replace a great teacher. So
absolutely. I love it. Well, that sounds fantastic. And so say the name of that one again, and we'll put all these in the show notes.
Oh, of course. What was the name of it? It's called DFIT.me.
Got it. DFIT.me. Awesome. All right. Well, what else do we have? So we've got something that's great for, unless there's anything more about Diffit that you wanted to talk about.
So Diffit right now for reading content, TWE as well. It's a really great resource for English teachers with creating content, but also taking a YouTube video, creating a summary, and then creating questions based on that summary. I have done it with a few Spanish videos, but it goes back to English. Like, it doesn't stay in the language. So I did reach out to them and they said that they're working on it. So hopefully, perhaps, you know, in the coming weeks, it'll be a better tool for not just English teachers, but all language teachers. So TWE, I really appreciate with the YouTube summary and it creating questions for me. And then it likes to expand. So it'll create the summary for you or the transcript. And then it'll ask you, do you want some true-false questions? Do you want multiple choice questions? Do you want some discussion questions based on this? And then it'll generate it for you. And then it'll ask you again, do you want this? Do you want this? So again, it knows that you're a teacher and it will help you generate more activities to use with your students, because I personally like to take one resource and involve the interpretive, interpersonal, presentational mode as many times as possible to really break down whatever that resource is. So if it's a listening task or if it's a reading task, I really like to pull as much as I can out and use that as my focal point in a lesson. So this, at least, if, you know, maybe I'm not having a creative day or I'm like, oh, you know, I'm not really sure what to do with this, it gives me a list of suggestions, which is really nice. So I can take some of their suggestions, or I can say, you know what, I'm going to do this instead. Thanks for the transcript. I'm going to use it in this capacity, which I really like.
Yeah. Well, I love too, because we have such decision fatigue sometimes, right? I look at, you know, some sort of resource, you know, even an authentic video of some sort, and it takes process. It takes energy. Sometimes it's just not that easy to come up with all the stuff, right?
Right.
And so I love that idea of it kind of helping you, you know, walk through, you know, asking you some questions and then it's just yes or no. it takes a little cognitive load off of you as a teacher when you're trying to do these things as well.
Another neat tool too, it's called magicschool.ai. And this one, when I discovered it, I thought to my friends in special education, I'm like, this is really nice. And even as language teachers, I know that very often we're writing accommodations or we're writing different behavioral suggestions for students. And then it has a capability of also corresponding based on a particular topic. So let's say you get an angry parent that writes you an email, which is never fun, right? And you're kind of stuck. You're like, okay, I need to reply within X amount of time. So then that way I'm not just leaving that parent hanging, but what do I say? How do I reply to this email? How do I frame it in a positive way, right? But maybe follow up with, we need to speak on the phone, right? Just to make sure. Right. So Magic School, you can type in very basic information about, you know, angry parent email about X, and it will generate a response for you to at least, like I shared before, give you a rough draft. And then that way you can say, okay, I really like some of the ideas here. Let me take some of the message. And as we were talking about before, it's your personal assistant. It's someone who's helping you. Yes, it's helping you to compose an email, but it's not, Magic School is not sending the email. You're going to send the email as the teacher. So you can take bits and pieces that might be a good place to start. And then, of course, what I really like is that it can translate to different languages. So if you're communicating with a parent who maybe their first language isn't English, there's a drop-down menu where you can select a different language. So hopefully the translation is correct. That's the only area where, you know, not speaking all of the languages, right. I'm not 100% sure. The Spanish looked pretty good. But again, that might be helpful for any teacher given any field. But Magic School has recently also come out with an AI resistant checker or AI resistant creator. So it'll give you different prompts to give to students that can help with AI resistancy. So that's something else that the website keeps developing. The creators are very interactive on Facebook. I always see them posting and giving feedback and saying, yes, that's a great idea. So that's what I also really like about have the newness of all of this is that these companies are open to feedback from the people using the tools, which is really nice.
Yeah, that's great. One of the things you mentioned when you were talking about the letter to the angry parent sort of situation, I think about new teachers, and we do have a lot of new teachers, a lot of turnover, a lot of people coming into our field, whether they're right out of a teacher ed, you know, prep program, or whether they're alternative certification. The first time you get that email, you don't really know what to say or how to say it, right? And so, you might go to a mentor that is equally as busy as you are.
Usually you run to someone
else.
Right? Yeah, you're like, could you take a look at this?
Yeah, and you still may do that because, again, you don't want to blindly trust everything that comes out of anything, anybody or any, AI sort of prompt. But at least, like you said, it gives you a place to start. It can get you thinking about things that you might not have thought about, from a perspective that you have not considered. And so I really liked that part of what you had mentioned as well. So that's great. So
it's important to have help. It's important.
Yes, yes, I agree.
Have your community of just, these are helpful people. These are helpful tools, especially when you're first starting out, because it really is so even. But I would say 20 years later, it's still difficult.
Oh yeah.
Still a lot of work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know when I had Joe Dale on the program too, we talked about ChatGPT is the one I've kind of dug into the most, and it's like my partner when I want to talk something out. I work at home by myself now. I mean, I have coworkers and I can talk to them, but sometimes it's just like, I am doing this. And for me, it's a lot of, professional learning experiences. Like, I'm doing a session on this. Like, what's a good analogy to kind of, talk about this concept with teachers or with, people? And, just kind of puts you on, give me 20 ideas. Maybe one of them is good. And then I can kind of go down that path. But I think just as a conversation partners, I mean, that sounds really sad.
It's true. I mean, that's very often. That's why too, I would go to social media as well. Like, does anyone have any suggestions for this? Or does anyone have any ideas for this? Or who can help me brainstorm this? Because social media, very often on Twitter or even Facebook, people are asking for help, ideas. So it's instead of putting it, I guess, out there to social media, here you have another way to get hopefully what you're looking for.
Yeah, another way, another tool to use. So.
Yeah, you mentioned Joe Dale too, who is just phenomenal with all of this as well. And he started a Facebook group, language teaching with AI. And I think he started off with a few people, I think, in June, and it's just blown up. I'm pretty sure there's thousands of people now that are on this in this Facebook group helping each other, which is really nice.
Yeah, we'll put that Facebook group in the chat as well, or in the show notes as well, because it is very active. And again, even if you just want to dip your toes in and just be around other people that are curious, because I think that's a lot of what's happening right now too, is just a lot of curiosity of what's going on. How can we, it's not well established yet. So there is a lot of experience, experimenting and just a lot of figuring things out, which can be for some of us kind of geeky nerds, right? We can into that too.
Yeah. We're learning as we go though too. Absolutely. I feel pretty confident about using these tools, but I don't have a degree in AI. Right. Like, I'm experimenting and learning just like you are, So it is fascinating though. As you find a new tool and you're like, oh, this one does this and this one does that, the presentation. So I do want to mention presentation. Now, very often I love using too. There's tons of templates out there, like through Slides Mania, right? Love Slides Mania. So you can grab templates and then obviously create the content that you need. This particular one, there's several. There's Gamma, there's Tomei, and then I found CuriePod, which again is created for teachers. So CuriePod, similar to the other tools, you provided a topic, you propose, this is what I'm teaching, and then it will generate a presentation for you, and you can switch the language. So I can say, I want this presentation in Spanish, I want this presentation in English, and it will go ahead and generate the content for you. And then these beautiful pictures too, it will organize it and put beautiful pictures, because we're all about too, authentic images, authentic videos, right? We want to be able to take this content from the target culture and then utilize it with our students. So CuriePod, was grabbing all of that for me and then putting it into this beautiful slideshow. And I thought, wow, if I were stuck and I was teaching this lesson tomorrow, at least I have this that I can start with. And then it will generate questions as well for you and put in like discussion prompts, which is really nice. So I appreciate that. That again, it's curated for a teacher and it's made with the classroom in mind. And how am I going to facilitate maybe this particular information, or how am I going to get a good discussion going with my students? So CuriePod is another one.
Wonderful. See, these are all ones I have never heard of. So this is really exciting. I'm like, I'm literally writing down, even though I know they're going to be in the show notes later.
I just know how time consuming.
Ooh, check that out.
Well, yeah. Presentations can be slideshows. And don't get me wrong, like they are a labor of love. Like I spend a lot of time on my slideshows and I want to make sure all the graphics, all the fonts, everything looks as nice as it could possibly look. So when I found this, I thought, huh, okay, it'll create it for me and I can make a few changes. So maybe I can change the font or change the image here, but it's a really nice starting point. So
yeah. Fantastic. And again, use them however you want
exactly.
in the classroom to, you know, if you really love doing, you know, the PowerPoints or the presentations and that sort of thing, then you can put your energy towards that and maybe not towards something that you don't love.
Exactly.
Because there's always so many things, you know, to do. And if you can focus your creative energy that you want to spend on those things,
right.
Let's see what AI and what some assisted, you know, content websites can do to kind of help you take some of those rote tasks that you don't love off of your plate, right?
Another tool that I just wanted to make mention of, it's within Canva. So I don't know if you've ever used Canva. Love Canva.
Love Canva. Canva does way more stuff though than I know what to do with. Like I do, like I always feel like I'm just barely touching on, you know, the tiniest little bit of its surface area. But
they do
lately they've had a ton of new things with AI come up lately. So
yeah. So and they make it super friendly for teachers. If you are a teacher, you get a free pro account, which is really nice. So you're like, yay, I'm a teacher. Yes, thank you. Giving me access to these tools. And I've seen other folks create just gorgeous documents thanks to Canva. Mm-hmm. What I liked about Canva is in their, I'm just going to click through just to make sure I'm speaking correctly. In their homepage. So if you go to their homepage and then if you go to apps, so if you click on apps and then you go to text to image, you can do a new design and you can say to it, for example, I want a dog wearing sunglasses walking through a park. Because let's say I created a silly story and I need an image to go along with that silly story, or vice versa. I want the kids to create a silly story based on a series of images. That I thought was really nice because I know I spent hours looking for like the best image that can go with a story.
That sort of matches, right?
Exactly. And then I remember like putting things on PowerPoint back in the day and like linking them all together. And it didn't look nice, but I was like, at least we get the point across, you know? So this I thought was really helpful, where any sort of text or idea that you have, it'll use AI to generate an image, which is so nice.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pause here for a second, because that just made me think of something that I know is actively being discussed right now with AI. And that is citing or giving credit of these images and ideas. Have you thought about this much or had any conversations about this much of when do you say this is generated by a person versus this was generated by me versus this was generated, you know, by AI with me editing it? Have you given much thought to this?
It's an excellent question. I think that I haven't thought too much about it because I've just been experimenting and playing.
Uh-huh.
But I think to give credit where credit is due, I don't see the harm in saying this was generated by AI at the bottom of your slide or mm-hmm. or at the bottom of your document. So then that way, whomever's looking at the document knows I didn't create this. Someone, you know, out somewhere else didn't create this. Artificial intelligence is who created this. Mm-hmm. So I feel like why not?
I haven't thought about it much either. Yeah. I mean, I see a lot going on about that. I also wonder if by putting that on whatever it is, that can, I don't know how to say it, like destigmatize a little bit about using this as a tool. Because I think people kind of feel it is a little bit cheaty, or it is a little bit something, you know, as opposed to a helpful tool. I don't know. I was just wondering if you'd kind of thought about that.
I would push back. And if your students, let's say your students are using this, let's say they're on Canva, they're doing text to image, they're generating images for a story that they're creating, or they're putting together, I love Book Creator. I don't know if you've ever used Book Creator for digital storytelling. So maybe they're using it and they need to cite their sources. Why not? It's always good to cite your source. And if you have that as a practice in your classroom.
A model, yeah.
Exactly. So why not then cite your source, include that information in there. And then as a classroom community, yes, we're using AI. This is how we're using it
responsibly. The appropriate way to use it, right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I encourage as we go back to the school, to the new school year, having conversations with your colleagues, having conversations as a school community, and really figuring out, okay, how do we talk about this with our students, and what sort of guidelines maybe or practices do we want to set up to make sure that we're all using it, like you were sharing, appropriately and responsibly in the classroom. And of course, unfortunately, of course, there's going to be instances where things are used irresponsibly. The same thing with kids, the same thing with adults, right? And you want to be able to hopefully have those conversations with the kids. And this is how we can use it to help us. But this would be an inappropriate way to use it.
Yeah, it's definitely not going away.
Right.
We might as well figure out how to, you know, to do this in a way that—
Like Google Translate. Google Translate's still here.
Yeah, and getting better all the time.
It's not going anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. And so figuring out how to, I mean, I've had my sons in college and we've had discussions about what is appropriate and what is not appropriate, you know, as far as that goes. And so anyways, I know that was just like a little side note, but it just kind of struck me, especially with images, you know, we wouldn't want to pass off some creative process like that,
right?
You know, as our own.
Like, I'm not in my design studio creating this beautiful image.
Right.
No, well, I'd rather say AI helped me to do this. I used Canva text to image.
Yeah.
And that's how
I love that.
Created.
I love that feature. And I've seen some of the other text to image programs, and sometimes they're not that good. But Canva, I had is the one tool that I have used, and it is really like pretty high quality. You know, stuff can come out of there. So very fun. All right. So and the last one that we talked about was Magic School, correct?
Yes. Yeah. We talked about Magic School as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
So there's a lot of neat capabilities in Magic School. So, and honestly, it's just, if you create an account, you log in, you can just click, 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 click through all the different ways that Magic School can help you. And it just keeps evolving. So in the future, my hope is that you're not going to 6 to 7 different platforms to get, you know, what you want accomplished. You can hopefully go to one place and do all of the things as a language teacher. But I know for now, there's a lot of neat capabilities, and many of them are just getting better and better for that reason. So then that way, as a teacher, you don't have to go to multiple sites. You can just use their one site.
I love that. So I know we talked a lot about content creation, like creating those reading passages, creating, you know, short stories or visuals that go along with that, presentations. What are some other areas of teaching and learning that, you know, AI can kind of help you with?
Sure. So as we were talking about before with Magic School, with the email generator, as well as it can create different questions for you. There's rubric generators. There's a tool that I learned about recently. It's called Learn with Carlos, and it's an AI simulated interpersonal tool in multiple languages. So if I wanted to practice, let's say, speaking, and maybe, you know, I want all of my students for 5 minutes to jump on this and just do a few, some conversational skills with Carlos, this AI program, they can go ahead and do that as, you know, a practice or as a prompt, which I really like. So for interpersonal practice, because it's always hard, right? When you pair the kids up, or you're always looking for different, you know, authentic scenarios to get the kids to chat with someone else in the target language. Even though AI is not an authentic person.
Right.
You are using the computer in this sense, but I appreciated that here's another way in terms of the modes of communication that I can have my students utilize AI in a fun way. So I can just practice conversation you know?
Oh, it's interesting. We say, you know, like it's not an authentic person, which of course it's not. But to the students, it's an authentic experience
exactly.
of communicating in the interpersonal mode, right?
Yeah.
Without, you know, both the stranger danger of a real person,
right.
like, because there's issues with that as well
yeah.
as just, you know, the effective filter. And there's a lot of things. So again, it's not the end result. You know, we want them to talk to an actual person, you know, eventually, yeah. but this is a wonderful performance practice in the interpersonal mode of communication that helps prepare them for the real world. So
right.
I love that one. So that was Learn with Carlos. Huh?
Learn
That's
with Carlos.
Awesome.
Yeah. And again,
oh my gosh,
I'm always looking for free. I'm always looking
yeah.
for what can help us as language teachers? Like, how can I, you know, next week try some of these out with my students?
Yeah. And I think just like, I mean, I'm going to date myself, but way back in the beginning of a lot of this ed tech thing, you never promise it'll stay free because it
right.
does, right? Like it, you know, that, especially education sites, that happens a lot where,
yeah.
you know, it'll come in.
Unfortunately.
It yeah. does, unfortunately. But like you said, as you know, there's so many sites right now and some are going to kind of rise to the top and really start doing all of the things that teachers need. And, you know, ones that, you know, maybe don't meet those needs will
right.
start filtering out. And
there's a way to, as you just mentioned, filtering out, there's AI filtration tools. So there's
oh
now websites.
I know.
There's because people are, you know, and
yeah.
with good reason, how do I create this? Or I'm looking for a tool that does this. So there's an AI for that.
Oh my gosh.
There's an AI for that. And then Futurepedia are two search engines for AI tools. And
wow.
they're constantly being updated because all of, you know, the newness of this, it just evolves almost on a daily basis. So I found that if I needed to do something very specific and I'm not sure which tool can help me to do that, that search engine is a really, or either one of them is a really nice way to look for things specific to me that what I'm looking for.
That's great. I
yeah.
love it. One of the other things I did want to mention that we talked about this. You're going to have a AI tools for world language teachers, like course, like it's a live course too, right?
Yeah.
So why don't
yeah.
you talk a little bit about that? Because as I was looking at the topics that you're going to talk about every week, I'm like, oh my, I'm like, ooh, that one looks really good. Like, wow, look at that. But you know, there's things like assessment and feedback and personalized learning and some really great things. So first, why don't you tell us a little bit about the class that you're going to be facilitating
sure.
and then some of those topics, a little bit of
yeah.
maybe a preview.
So as I shared before, I'm on maternity leave this school year, and I thought, how can I still support teachers and how can I still kind of be in the educational mix? Because as much as I love being home with my daughter and I love watching her grow and evolve, it's so, so cool, especially with language. I'm hoping, you know, that's as a language teacher, I'm like, I can't wait till she starts talking and then I can, you know, hopefully she'll be bilingual. But anyway, I thought, here's this need to continue learning, and here is something that is brand new that we're all exploring together, and why not go on this journey together, but in November, not right now, because it's the school year starting, everybody is super busy, so I thought, in November, I can launch this 7-week course with evening sessions. We'll see if the group, I want folks to also articulate to me based on where they are, if it's better to meet in the afternoon, if it's better to meet in the probably not in the morning or maybe in the evening. And then that way we can be flexible and we can meet on a weekly basis and discuss these different topics and specifically using ChatGPT, but then also these other tools that can help us. So then that way, after 7 weeks, we feel really confident about, yes, I can use this one, or I know how this one does this, or I feel like I've curated all of these resources based on this. So the idea is that folks can graduate from the course and have a lot of confidence in using these different tools in different ways. So the curriculum is still evolving because I don't want to lock anything in knowing that it's August and that November, there could be something brand new that's even more spectacular that's out there now. But just the ideas right now are to help us as language teachers and to feel confident about using these tools and really taking it one step at a time, because nobody can really dive in and just be expected to know everything right away. So I like going slow and steady, and then hopefully each week you can then take it and put it into your classroom practice. So it doesn't become this one-off, but it's, okay, today is Tuesday. How can I use this in my lesson on Thursday? Or how am I going to, you know, can I share with my colleagues about this? And can we collaborate and create something that we can use next week altogether? So that's really the purpose of it. And I want to do live because I feel recorded, as wonderful as it is, when you're live, then I'm going to give that space and that time to talk to one another, to share ideas, to play around a little bit, so we're going to be in the driver's seat. We're not just going to be passively sitting and listening. I really want folks to feel comfortable with, okay, let me create an account. Let me create an activity. Let me push this button. Good thing nothing's going to happen, you know, nothing's going to explode when you push the buttons, but just kind of walking folks through that, it's all good. Let's make it work for us. And how do we hopefully become really knowledgeable? And then the idea is, if you become really knowledgeable, then you can hopefully share this with others and then share that knowledge. So the Lo Logramos consulting developed as a need of just wanting to connect with teachers, wanting to continue to support folks going into the new school year, but still being able to stay home with my daughter.
That sounds absolutely perfect, right? And that's exactly what you should be doing and the time you need to be doing it.
Thank you.
I think that's wonderful. But I do. So some of the things we've talked on content creation, I think we talked a little bit about personalized learning. So can you speak a little bit to one of your topics is assisted lesson and unit planning? So what are some tools? Are you mostly looking at ChatGPT? That's how I've used it a lot for planning out like that. And I don't know that teachers just that job, because you, especially as an experienced teacher, you may know what you're going to do, but you still may be required to give like a 2-page lesson plan and turn it into your principal on Mondays. You know, there's all kinds of crazy rules out there, right? But but even just like the structure of it to help put, you know, I find it helps me put my thoughts. So I'm more kind of, you know, intentional in the format of my lesson planning or my unit planning. What are some tips or some things that you have found to be helpful having to do with that topic?
So one that I discovered recently, thanks to Facebook and thanks to these groups that I'm a part of, and again, just kind of like reading and seeing what folks are asking about, it's called EduGPT. So I'll just share a quick example with you. So EduGPT has different AI faculty. So I have connected with Mr. Cervantes, who's an 8th grade Spanish teacher assistant on this platform. And he asked me, how can I assist you with your 8th grade Spanish teaching needs today? So I put out there, I would like to create a lesson all about getting to know my students and their families in a creative way. So then he went ahead, or this AI tool went ahead and created a lesson titled Mi Familia y Yo. And it says the objective: by the end of the lesson, students will be able to introduce themselves and their families in Spanish while also learning about their classmates' families. Tells me which materials I need, provides me a warm-up activity, begin the lesson by asking students to draw a picture of their family on a piece of paper, encourage them to include all family members, and label them in Spanish if they can. After a few minutes, have the students share their drawings with a partner and describe their family members. And then it provides an introduction. It has using chart paper with different phrases, explaining to students that they're going to have the opportunity to learn about each other's families today. And then it has different activities, which is really nice, with dividing the class, having the kids interview one another, having the kids take turns with writing responses on index cards, looking at the visuals as a whole class community, drawing family trees, encouraging students to make connections between their own families and their classmates' families. Then it also has follow-up assignments if you wanted to give homework, if you wanted to use an educational, an EdTech platform. It said here using Flipgrid or Padlet might be a nice way for kids to record videos, introductions of themselves. And then it also says, if you want to send a letter to parents or guardians introducing yourself and explaining that this was today's lesson, perhaps they want to encourage and support their child from home to talk about their families at home and maybe share additional key information or some fun facts about their family members. So this was one question on this platform, and it created all of this for me as an 8th grade Spanish teacher. in a hypothetical scenario. So I thought that was so neat.
Wow. Even if you used a quarter of that, half of that, how much time and energy has that saved you that you can now spend on yourself and your own family, perhaps, or perfecting your craft of, okay, now I've got this lesson. How am I going to present it? How am I going to engage students? Like, you can focus on the teaching aspect as well, you know? So, that's amazing. That is amazing.
It took me all of 3 minutes to probably log into the website, ask Mr. Cervantes that question, get that response, read through and say, you know what? Yeah, let me grab some of these ideas. I like this. You know, let me do the index cards. Let me have them do some partnering and sharing. Let me have them walk around the room, maybe look at other families. You know, why not? I like to the follow-ups. I'm like, that's actually kind of a good idea. Like to reach out to some of my families and say, hey, we talked about families today in our class. Support your child at home. Maybe talk about today's lesson. And then if there's interesting information that we want to bring into class tomorrow to share, why not?
Yeah. Oh, that's great. I love it. That's fantastic. Any other really amazing resources that you haven't talked about yet? We've talked about so many. I know that there's probably teachers kind of going, oh my goodness. But you got to start somewhere. And sometimes the place you start is just with an idea, right? Like that it even does these things, that you are taking in the fact that there is a tool that can kind of help you, you know, that can be your assistant. You know, not only corporate business people should have assistants, right? I feel like this is a fair thing that we have assistants to kind of work with us and to, you know, to assist us in that way. So is there any other either tools or amazing things that you kind of want to make sure to get in?
I think I have mentioned all of my favorites thus far, but as I talked about before, I'm always looking for new ones. I'm always looking for other tools that will help us as teachers, especially language teachers. So if whomever's listening, if they want to reach out and maybe comment and get in touch, please. But I think I have highlighted all the ones that I really like so far.
Amazing.
And of course, the original ChatGPT.
Yeah.
When in doubt, you can always go back to the original. And see what it can help
the OG.
You with. Yes.
Absolutely. This is fantastic. We're going to make sure to put all of your contact information down below, along with that information for your website and the course that you're doing, which I think sounds fantastic. And I just appreciate you coming and I thought I knew some stuff about AI and about this sort of thing. And I learned so many new things that I'm just dying to check out. And
you gotta play around. You gotta play around.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, I think that's the other thing. You can't break anything. You're not going to, you know, ruin anything, you know, it's try it and see what you can find out and see if you can find it. You know, if you can find some things that will help you to take some load off and allow you to, you know, do what you're good at. I think I am all for it. So
absolutely. I'm with you.
Wonderful. Well, Noemi, thank you so much for coming and talking today with this. We'll have to have you back in a couple months when things will be totally different. There'll be many, many more new tools that we don't even know now, I'm sure, doing all kinds of crazy things.
Right. So like you said, it's not going anywhere. It's not a matter to, I don't want folks to feel like, oh, I got to keep up. It's what's one tool that can help you with September in mind and with going back to school, even if it's as simple as, hey, I have back to school night and I'm not sure how to talk about this with my parents. And then you can ask one of these presentation tools to help you create some slides that you can take the information and put it into your original slideshow, you know, but it just to give you some ideas. So
yeah. Absolutely.
Start
if
with
it's
one
not
thing.
Some Yep, exactly. start with something easy if that's where you want to kind of go. And I think that's a good point because I think you and I are early adopters. There's a lot of us early adopters that get really excited by this sort of thing. But it'll all kind of as this become, I mean, this is accelerating quickly. Like a couple months ago, we didn't hardly know anything about it.
Right.
In another month, you know, there's going to be some of that shakeout where there are going to be probably more you know, platforms that will do, you know, a lot of the things that we do, and we won't have to hop from one to one and hack it and like double stack things and, you know, all of that, App Smash and all of that sort of stuff, you know? So yeah, I thank you so much for sharing all of the new things you've learned. So yeah. I look forward to connecting with you again.
Yes, I would love to. I was going to say, as you're playing around, and please feel free to be like, hey, this worked really well, or I loved when this did this, you know, I would love to hear if your experience is as mind-blowing as mine has been.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you again. Have a wonderful, back to, you're not going back to school, but have a wonderful time with your daughter. Yeah. I was just going to say, you still kind of are. You're still working.
I'm feeling yes. the end of the summer, the beginning of the school year. Yeah. My husband too is a school principal.
Okay.
My stepdaughter, you're still... she's starting fifth grade. So we're still kind of in the swing of it. Emily and I are on the sidelines, just cheering everybody on, waving and saying, we know, we've been there. Hopefully.
And that's okay too. It's good to be a coach sometimes.
Yeah.
Right? And a support. And that's what you're being for teachers too. So exactly. I appreciate
that. I love doing that. I love being able to help folks make their lessons and their classroom experiences even better and better for their students. Because at the end of the day, like, that's what you want. You want your kids to love the subject and to be excited to come to class every day. So hopefully.
Absolutely. Well, thanks again, Noemi. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.